wisdom and insight in your word this morning. Thank you for giving us a fresh understanding and application, studying the prophets, the Old Testament, the spirit of the prophets, how we can walk in the realities of what they said concerning Jesus Christ. Thank you. This morning we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, 25 to 27. Understanding the law and the prophets. Don't forget that we had a teaching like that. I suppose that was last year. Right? Okay. So we are just continuing from there. Verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, don't forget, why did he call them fools? He called them fools because they were not reasoning through. We looked at the meaning of the term fools. It's not abusive, it's descriptive. They were not reasoning through the scriptures. And a good number of us believers, sometimes we don't reason through the scriptures. We have what we call our favorite verses, or favorite books, and then we don't think that we need to read everything all together to have an understanding of what the whole book says. And that's exactly why he called them fools. And that's why many of us do not have an understanding of what the message is, since we're not reading through everything. So notice he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures. We'll come into that soon. Go to chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Notice he says Moses and all the prophets. That'll be Genesis to where now? Malachi. Am I right? Okay, just the next book is John's Gospel. I suppose the next chapter, actually. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and then verse 45. This is Philip speaking. Philip was of Bethsaida, verse 44, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, John's Gospel 1:45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, right? And the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Notice what he says. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. He says they wrote about someone. And so it's vital in Bible study to read the whole Bible. Because you see, the emphasis of Jesus here, and the emphasis of Philip as well, is the entire book. Everything. He says, we have found him, of whom the whole Bible, in other words, speaks about. And then, 2 Timothy chapter 3, quickly go there, we're coming back to this in a moment, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, I wrote here, it's important to read all the contents of the Bible. I teach Bible interpretation, and I often say that you must study the Bible in context. But you see, contextual study is only useful when you read all the contents of the Bible. Because you ought to read everything that is in the Bible. So, contextual study is just vital. It becomes vital when you study the whole book. Now, go to 2 Timothy 3:15. You got to be a lot this morning. You should be every time anyway. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. I'll read 16 and I'll back to 15. 16 says all. Is that there? 16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice all. And it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice it says all. Someone say all. Good. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All. verse 15, it says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Notice two things. All and thee. The word all is the word pas in the Greek, P-A-S. That means the all. It refers to the whole. So the reference of Paul here is the whole Bible. And that, at that material point in time, that's Genesis to Malachi. It says the whole Bible. It's given by inspiration of God. Then in 15, he says, the scripture. Right? Thou hast known the scripture. It's the Greek word H-O-O. Used 20,122 times. 20,122 times. And it means a definite article. If he has said scriptures, that would be very wide. That would mean everything that is written or was written at that point in time in the whole world. And that would be correct. So he says the scripture, which is specific, particular. So, specific, particular, these scriptures that he says in 16, all. So, he's specific, then he's more specific. He's specific about the book, then he's more specific about reading everything. So, it's not just reading like in Psalms or like in your favorite book. My favorite book is the book of Esther. Kind of stuff like that. No, he says all scripture. And that's the way you get understanding is when you study all the scriptures. So, he's definite. So, why are all those folks foolish? They're foolish because the ones we read earlier, because they are not reasoning through all. Now, look at the quality that Paul writes about Timothy in 15. He says, from a child thou hast known what? That would be, thou hast known Genesis to Malachi, or thou hast known Moses' law and the prophets. Is that correct? Right, now look at it. Which are what? Able to what? Oh, come on now. Which are able to what? What happened to those guys in Luke 24? They were foolish. That's the exact opposite. Which are able to make thee wise, which is the Greek word sophizo. You did know that. Sophizo means skillful. You are smart. Same word that Peter uses. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Cunningly devised. Smartly put together. Right? So, he's not foolish. He is skillful. Why is he skillful? From a child, you have known there is hoida. Hoida is what now? Appreciate, to realize. That means, what did he realize? Verse 15. He realized salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. He's not going to the Bible to know how to be the Esther of your generation. Or say, the mystery behind the coat of many colors. You are, arise now, the Esther generation. You know, I've been a Christian a few weeks now. But in a short few weeks I've been a Christian, I've heard all sorts of generations. I used to hear about Moses' generation. There was a time. I heard about the Isaac generation. I've heard about the Joshua generation. There was a time in the, that was maybe 1993-94, we heard about the Elijah generation. Many guys didn't like Elijah. I don't know why, but the Elijah generation. And recently I got something, the Benjamin generation. Oh my God. I won't land the Antichrist generation. So really, you don't study the Bible, all kind of stuff like that. You study the Bible, it says if you're those who study the Bible that way, and they get Esther generation. He calls them foolish. Because you are not intelligent. If you're intelligent, you know that there's salvation through faith which is in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that? That's what makes you smart spiritually. I think we talked about being smart on Wednesdays, right? Huh? Some guys will be around on Wednesdays. Smart, being wise. So how do you become smart spiritually is when you realize the message. So those guys in Luke 24, they were not smart because they didn't reason through. So you got to put everything together to reason through. They didn't do that. The prayer of Jabez. What's it? What's the prayer of Jabez? You know the prayer of Jabez? Who is Jabez? What I know about Jabez was my senior in secondary school. Have I told the story before? You know, I won't tell you again. Alright, so I don't know about Jabez. So it's faith through Christ. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the intelligent study of the Bible. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and see what Peter also said within there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, right, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation, notice in verse 9, the prophets have inquired and said diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So, he says, Peter is saying the same thing. He says, what were the prophets prophesying about? Salvation. Salvation. That's what. Salvation through faith that is in Christ. That's what the prophets were prophesying about. Okay? So, he goes back, track back again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The word holy there is heiros in the Greek. H-E-I-R-O-S, not the one agios, but they mean the same thing. It means sacred. Alright? Sacred things. 1 Corinthians 9:13, used for temple sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 9:13. And in Colossians 4:13, it was used for a place, Hierapolis. That is a sacred area, somewhere people don't go to so often. In other words, he's saying that the scriptures are respected. What it means is that the scriptures are used for salvation. Or they're studied for salvation. And that's why it's very unique. It's not a book. You can just get something out of it the way you want it. It's a book that is so unique. That's why it's called sacred. The message in there. Sacred. You don't just take the Bible. Just like the Bible says. You know, some guys are very interesting. Just like the Bible says. Just like the Bible says. You said your own thing. Just like the Bible says. No. It's sacred. Because the message is very sacred. So you handle it that way. It's respected. Right? So, now don't forget what we said before now. Does it mean that everything in the Bible is about Christ? Can I have an answer? Huh? Very fine. Somebody said yes. That means the person was not around last week and the week before. All right? Is everything in the Bible about Jesus Christ? Thank you. But all scripture speaks about Him. Do you get that? When you reason through everything. But everything in there is not about Jesus Christ. Just like an illustration Dr. Fred Price gave several years back. I remember him saying this. That the Bible, we say that the Bible is not the Word of God. Don't cry yet. The Bible is not the Word of God. Why do we say that? Now, in technical terms, it can be called the Word of God. Why? Because God, in studying everything together, you know, it becomes the Word of God. But you see, the truth is that everything in the Bible is not true. Everything in the Bible is truly stated, but it's not true. Because there are different characters. People lied in the Bible. Right? Is that not true? Yeah, no, that can't be true. People lied in there. Satan deceived people in there. Alright? People cursed God in the Bible. Alright? And God didn't inspire all that. You get that? So not everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. But when you reason through the Holy Scriptures, you will get the message of salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Do you understand that? Right. Good. So now not the one who say all. So that means everything in the Bible is not inspired. But the writing is inspired. You get that? Do you understand that? Everything, do you understand what you said? But the writing of what was said is inspired, but not everything that was said is inspired. Okay? So, that said, let's move further a bit. In 2 Timothy 3:16, one more time, it says, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if we're going to be technically contextual, and we look at the word past, whole, because of the way he finished verse 15, salvation through faith that is in Christ, then we will say, all about salvation through faith that is in Christ is profitable for teaching. You get that? Say that quick. All about salvation through faith, which is in Christ, is profitable for teaching. For example, there are things that are not profitable for teaching. Paul calls some things dung. Well, on the first day, when they say, take two cups of flour and apply, hey, that's not profitable for teaching anything. That's Moses' bakery in the temple. Hallelujah. He said, well, you know, profitable for teaching. You talk about kind of animals you should eat and don't eat and don't eat. You know, hey, buddy. It's about salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. It's profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness that the man of God. That means there's some things that you don't need to read. Sorry, you don't need to try to understand. What is he trying to say? Nothing about food. Is this something spiritual? About flour. What about the cup? The cup means my cup runneth over. You're beginning to sound like a comedian. So, what is written? The writing is inspired. Okay? Writing is inspired. Men were inspired to write it. You have the word gamma in verse 15. The writing. Then what is written, in gamma, in the writing, in verse 16, there's graphe. So you have gamma in 15, and graphe in 16. So, write this down. You teach, alright, from all scripture, this is a question. I want to ask a question. Sorry, I didn't get my notes one. Okay, this is a question for you. Do you teach, you teach from all scriptures about Christ, or all scripture is about Christ? Huh? Let me think that one more time. Is 2 Timothy 3:16 saying you teach from all scriptures about Christ, or all scripture about Christ? Some of you are playing games. Because you're as mysterious as the prophets of the Old Testament. Alright, let's do it like this. All scripture are about Christ. Raise your hand. How about that? Alright, you teach from all scripture about Christ. Okay. That's smart. You just looked around, nobody raised their hand, I don't raise my hand. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Why is this so? 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be what? Perfect. The word perfect there is not teleo. Teleo is what you have accomplished, or you talk about maturity. The word perfect there is artios. A-R-T-I-O-S. It means to be adequately equipped. To be adequately equipped. Then it says, furnished, prepared unto every good work, is the word exartizo. E-X-A-R-T-I-Z-O. So you're adequate. So there are people who have been in ministry for 30 years, and when they got a hold of this truth, they just started ministry. They just started getting adequate. You get my point? You can be in ministry since the day of Pentecost. It doesn't matter anything. If what you're teaching is not through Christ Jesus or in Christ Jesus, you are not yet adequate. You've got enough experience outside of Christ. I need to say this quickly. I said this last night, I think. It's better to be ignorant than to be mistaught. If you're ignorant, many times it's very easy to get things across to you. But when you're already taught, and that thought is well taught, they begin to argue. They argue, just argue. And those kind of people, their minds are so strong. Strong. They stronghold. Because there are denominations that have been existing for hundreds of years and were built on error. Error. How do you start? Praise the Lord. How do you start? Hallelujah. A couple of weeks back, you know, and I saw someone post it when I liked it. A couple of weeks back, someone told me, I don't believe that a Christian can be saved forever. And I said, why do you think so? He said, yes! Are you not trying to see? And they said a couple of things and all that. So what about Judas? And I said, those kind of people don't talk too long. I said, are you a son of God? Yes, by the grace of God. That's fine enough. So let me show you something about John's Gospel, chapter 8. And he says, he that sins is a servant of sin. Yes. But the servant does not abide in the house. Yep. But the son abides in the house forever. Are you a son of God? Gotcha. So, it's better to be ignorant than to be mistaught. I love ignorant people. But those who don't know, they don't know what they think they know. Even Jesus will say it is finished. Let's go on. So, salvation through faith in Christ becomes a vital element of all teaching, right? Even when you're correcting people, even when they've done wrong, even when you have to rebuke them and all that, the message must have what? Salvation through faith that is in Christ. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? So that's how the man of God. Go back to John 1:45. I told you we're going to come back there. Now, in John 1:45, what Philip said was, we have found he whom, John 1:45, we have found he or him of whom Moses, alright, whom is the word H-O again, Greek, 1,411 times. It can also be which or that. A close Greek scholar says this is a demonstrative pronoun. Alright, it demonstrates a pronoun that is It is referring to not an object, an abstract personality, but someone that can be readily seen by all. So we have found the person. That means everybody is pointing to this person. Okay? Whom, now notice this, they wrote about. Now, do you notice he didn't say that we have found him that all they wrote about was for? No. He's saying, within all their writings, there's a particular person they all wrote about. Not that they all wrote the same things. Are you following what I'm saying here? But there's a particular person, demonstrative pronoun, that they all wrote about. That means they wrote other things that were not about him. Come on. You following what I'm saying? They wrote other things that were not about him. But there's someone that spread through all their writings. Do you get that? Do you get that? Go to John 5. See something. Jesus made mention. Now, that word write, again, is the word grapho. You know, it's written about right. We wrote about Luke 24, remember that? 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, writing, graphe, grammar, and graphe. Look at this again. What they wrote, John 5, just four chapters after, John 5. Jesus, in verse 46, let's take it together. John 5, 46 and 47. Can we go? Let's go. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So he wrote of me. Not that everything he wrote was about me, but he wrote of me. Now, look at the next thing that Nathanael said. John 1:45. Look at the next thing that Nathanael said. John 1:46 now. Nathanael says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? The word good thing is agathos in the Greek, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. It means by nature, it's an adjective, 101 times, adjective. It means, when it says, can any good thing, pay attention to that. That means, Moses and the prophets wrote about a particular good thing. There was something good they were all talking about. And he's saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? In other words, whatever was good in their writings was talking about this person. That's the reason of Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So, he sure wasn't talking about everything they wrote, because they wrote things that were not good. Are you following this? But what they said about him was good. Or what was good in what they said, that's better, was about him. Remember, this teaching is about how to appreciate your Bible. Because some guys say, well, seems like God is contradicting himself. My dad used to say, I don't like the God of the New Testament, my dad. He's too slow. The God of the Old Testament is sharp sharp. He will deal with you sharp sharp. Interesting thinking. There are people today who still think like that. The God of the Old Testament, God born again in the New Testament. His sins were paid for by the blood of Jesus. Is that funny? Alright, let's go further. So go back to Luke 24. You learn something? So, The Moses and the prophets, did they write, everything they wrote, was it good? Huh? No. Was everything they wrote, was it about Jesus?
And that's what makes Bible study interesting. Hallelujah. Come on, follow this. Luke's Gospel 24. 25. O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? To have suffered these things. Notice the word these things. To suffer these things. So go to 44. Luke's Gospel. Just read 25, sorry. Go to 44. And these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Alright? Are you there? That all, now, all things will be what? All, thank you, you know that now. All these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Now, what are all these things that will be fulfilled? Concerning, did he say everything Moses wrote, everything the prophet said, everything David said must be fulfilled? Is that what he said? Concerning me. That means there are things they said that must never come to pass. You understand what I'm saying here? God does not back up those kind of things. The only things that are found in him are all the promises of God. There are things God couldn't have said. But the things that will come to pass are the things concerning him. If they like, they say it shall come to pass. That's their business. We'll come to that soon. What will come to pass are the things concerning him. Praise the Lord. Following what I'm saying? Concerning him. Shall come to pass. Things concerning him. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Watch something. Okay. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was with you. That all these things must be fulfilled. So, the things we read earlier in 27, 25, 26. So what do you do next? He opened ear their understanding. Remember that? That they might understand what? The scriptures. He opened ear their understanding that they might understand what? The scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he pointed them to the Christocentricity of the Bible. What binds all those guys together is not condemnation. It's not Israel. It's not people's sins. It's about the good thing. Hallelujah. The prophecies, instructions, promises concerning Christ. One of the things I'm doing this study for many of you, so that you will not believe the prophets all the time. There are things you read when they say you begin to laugh. I say, for where? Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying here? If this is your first time, I apologize. Right now. Then what did he do? He says, he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. So, and said unto them. Now, obviously, verse 46 and 47 will be to summarize. Remember that? What he taught. So, what did he say? Thus it is written. He said, thus it is written. Written where? Where? Moses and all the prophets. Thus it is written. As though there's, he's not quoting any particular portion of the Bible. What is done here is to summarize. That is, Luke is saying, this is the summary of what Jesus said. That thus it is written in Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, behold, Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. So the first thing, the first element, of true Bible study is to find out from Moses, one, what's been written, summarizing his teaching, one, Christ to suffer. So, if I'm going to study Moses, I'm going to be looking at where he said Christ will suffer. Not about, what else? What's in there again? Brethren, Moses was there 40 days, 40 years. Oh, 40 years. After 40 years, you need 40 years for 40 years of ministry. I once preached to guys before I got born again. I said, 3.5 years he spent to pre- so 30 years he spent to prepare for 3.5 years of ministry. I kind of felt funny. Then he died. How about that? You know? He said the first thing you need to see is how Christ will suffer. Number two? What were the things that will come to pass? Number one, how Christ will what? Number two? That means the suffer will be what? Dead. Because you can't rise from the dead because you took a stroll. You understand what suffering means now? So Christ will die, then what? Rise from the dead, the third day, be specific. Then the third thing he said, and that what? You watch your Bible. You have a Bible? Look at it. And that what? What? Repentance, which is remission of sins, will be what? Okay, so remission of sins will be preached in his name. You'll find that where? In Moses, in the law, and then the prophets and the Psalms. Remission of sins, which is offenses, which is what? To take sin away. Or better still, like I taught you, so great salvation 5b will be this week, I think so. I'll let you know when. Remission of sins will be what? To take away the penalty, right? Or the judgment of sin. Was that everything Moses preached? Obviously not. Or the prophet? No. But that's what we need in what they say. Remission of sins. What do we need? Christ will suffer. Christ will rise the third day. Then the judgment of sin will be taken away. Preach in his name among all nations. I thought the prophets were more convicting the Gentiles. You Gentiles, you uncircumcised in all the nations, will be preached in his name, in his authority. So the first thing we'll find out will be what? Christ will suffer, that is die. Secondly, thirdly, remission of sins. What's the fourth thing? Look down. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. So what's the fourth thing? The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. So, where do the scriptures agree? They will agree from this on four things. Alright? On these four things, you can't find a contradiction. Do you follow me? What's the first thing they will all agree? That Christ will suffer. He will die. They didn't die. I like how McCracken said it. He said he went to the place where the dead will call him dead. I think I like that. So the first thing, he will suffer. Second thing, he will rise. So they will agree on those two. They can agree on other things, though. Undressing, you know. There was a time Moses would say that Moses said, if anybody does this, that the sins of the father of the son and the children, Ezekiel said, no, shall no longer be said. Let them keep disagreeing. But they will agree on something. Right? Christ will die. He will. And then, remission of sins will be made available. And then there's the promise of the Father. You know, they say, okay, I agree on that one. I said that the soul that sinners shall die. Who are you to say this? Moses, who are you? I'm saying to the third and fourth generation of those who worship Israel. Ezekiel said, bros, calm down. The soul of the Father, that is. The soul of the Son is the soul that sinners shall die. There's no Christ in all that statement. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying? So, let them fight on who should wear what. And what should wear who. But Christ will suffer. Cool, cool, cool. He will rise from the... I think you cannot marry from any other tribe. Moses here married a prostitute. Christ will die. Christ will die. Allow me. So the scriptures agree on that. Alright? Not on commerce. Not on marriage. Amen? Not on commerce, not on marriage. But on Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. On Him. So, that's vital. You agree on Him? You know, Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you should believe me. But Jesus subbed Moses. Sorry, what sub? Sub is? Not to sub? Okay, dished Moses. He said, you have heard. But now I say unto you. So that means whatever Moses said, he said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, that's not about Jesus. But Moses said it. So you have it, now I say to you. It's up in him. But Moses wrote about him. But that was not about him. Praise God. Is that clear? Okay, so. So. The very first prophet of the Old Testament will be who? The first prophet was Enoch. Jude, you see, you're not reasoning through. I got you. Now I got you. Jude 14. You read everything. Hallelujah. I said the first person recorded as in the Old Testament. I said last, you didn't listen to details. I said the first person recorded as a prophet was Abraham in Genesis 27. I said, but he wasn't the first prophet. I said so. So the first prophet was Enoch, Jude 14. Jude 14 says, Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Talking about execution of judgment. So, say, behold, the Lord cometh. So, the prophecy of Enoch was the Lord. The Lord. And from there you read about Noah and all of them. You know, the funny part about Enoch is we don't have his book. What do I need his book for? I just need the Lord. Praise God. That's why Elijah has got no book, because I found him saying nothing. The only thing Elijah is known for was he prayed. James 5:16. James remembered him, that he prayed. All Paul said about him was that he asked a question of unbelief. They were forsaken. He said, no, I have a remnant. Nothing else. What do you know about Elijah? Nothing else. Jesus said, someone greater than Elijah said, John the Baptist. Say, you are greater than John the Baptist. But you like the God of Elijah. Because you don't want to walk in love. You like the God of Elijah. Because you don't want to walk in the Spirit. Elijah is ashamed of that God. That you're talking about. Oh God, don't remind me before I got born again. Praise God. We'll get to that soon. So, the issue is about Christ. Look at Noah. Noah's issue, Noah, Hebrews 11, 7 to 8, he also, what was his message, Noah's message was Christ. Hebrews 11. Noah's message. He's also a prophet. He's a preacher. Noah's message. Hebrews 11 verse 5. Noah's message
was about Christ. Hebrews 11. Though I've been warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Verse 7.
Hebrews 11.
1 Peter 3. Noah, Christ. 1 Peter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3. The like figure, verse 21, talking about Noah's ark, whereunto baptism also now save us. We're coming to that soon. So Noah's message is quite. Abraham, the first recorded prophet, not the first one. Genesis 27. For he is a prophet, Abraham, Genesis 27. For he will pray for you, and thou shalt live. If thou shalt restore or not, know that thou shalt surely die, and all that are yours. As Abraham speaking. Genesis, 27. So he's a recorded prophet. What's about him that we need to study? Go to Galatians 3. We're there last week. Galatians 3, verse 8. But the scripture, okay, foreseeing, watch this now. Galatians 3, 8, are you there? But the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, Galatians 3, 8, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The word preached before, we saw it last week, right? Pro-evangelizomai is just like saying preaching to somebody before. That's what it means. To preach before. Now, take note of that. That is, Abraham preached the gospel before. Before what? Before what? Someone says, you just got paid. Oh, number. So, well, you were paid double of your salary. Yeah. Because it just happened. That's good news. Alright? But he says, it's preaching before. That means before you were paid, you were told you will be paid. You get that? So, preaching the gospel before will mean before it happened, he was told. So, he said it. What he knew, Abraham, not the prophet, he now preached it. He said it, Abraham. So, the gospel in the lips of the prophets will be an expectation. Do you understand? You understand that? Will be a hope. Will be an expectation. So, you shouldn't be looking at what they were saying about things that have happened. What will be the gospel is what they said will happen. Alright? So, do you know ours is different? We preach what has happened. 1 Corinthians 15. How Christ died, past tense. They prophesy how the Christ must suffer. Do you understand that? Must suffer. Futuristic. We preach how Christ has suffered. How he was buried. How he rose from the dead the third day. They said how he will rise the third day. Do you understand it? You understand it now? What is the past tense today was a future tense then. So we simply look for the future tenses of today's past tense on the lips of the prophets. That will be the gospel. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright, let's go forward. So, like I said, what we preach in is past tense, they preach in the future tense. But we're saying the same thing. Right? In their words, you'll find shall, will. In ours, it will be as. Is that clear? Come on, guys, is that clear? Okay. That's what he's fulfilled. Now, remember, Abraham was called a prophet. Genesis 27. That's the word nabi. That word makes me really feel funny. Because as a Muslim, I know a nabi is a prophet. And the Hebrew says nabi. Am I a Muslim? So, you find it, the word prophet was first used for a speaker, a spokesperson. Somebody who speaks on your behalf. Nabi. Remember God said to Abraham, Moses that Aaron shall be your spokesperson. He will be your prophet. Right? You see in Numbers 11. He's a speaker. So, the first thing we know about a prophet will be what? One who preaches Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, who preaches what about Christ? Sufferings of Christ and the glory. That's the Old Testament. First thing about a prophet in the Old Testament is that they preach Christ. But they preach Christ as to come. Come on. Are you there? To come. That's why it's called a prophecy. They preach Christ as that which is to come. Now let's go back again. So to refresh our memory. Did they always preach Christ? Huh? Was everything about their preaching Christ? No. Amen. So, we will be good students of the Bible to find out when they preach Christ. Are you there? Are you there? Luke 24 again. Come back. All fools, 25, slow of heart, brothers, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Or, all these things that the prophet have spoken. What are the things? Ought not Christ. So, you can't, the only place where you will find faith in the words of the prophet will be about Christ. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What were the things hoped for? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Not about cars, about houses. I said to you, faith is all. It's over. Faith, yeah. If you want something, then get the title deed. You want the title deed? Where you have the title deed? You want to believe God for your house? You say, that's like saying, oh, poo. I preached it before. I was a fool. Amen. Substance of things hoped for. That Christ's death be hoped for. Alright? The evidence of things not seen is Christ, is death, burial, resurrection they had hoped for and not seen. So he says they all died, did not receive the promise. Remember that? That shows you they had the cars, they had the hands, but didn't receive the promise. So today, we see Jesus. Glory to God. So, we can define faith by Hebrews 11:1. That will be low. Faith is now Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Fulfilled. Amen. It's another sermon on its own. So, believe all the prophets have. So, we can rephrase that statement. Sorry, Jesus, I have to do this. Luke's Gospel 24:25. He said, go ahead, man. You have to. To believe all that the prophets have spoken concerning Christ. Right? That's what? Luke 24:25. So, we go further. So when we hold the books of the prophet, Paul says, you rightly divide. Ototomio, right? Rightly divide. You gotta be careful. Cause sometimes, how many of you, you know about distillation? You know distillation. What do you study in school? Finance. I know about this. I would have excommunicated you from church. But you should have asked me, how do I know about it? Distillation is what? The process of what? Everybody, separation? Did not keep quiet. What about? Separation of what? Impurities? I didn't hear you. You didn't become steel, huh? Liquid or what? Different boiling point. Okay, go on. Don't stop there. That means they're in the same place, you separate them. You gotta be very careful, right? Because if you're not careful, you can mix two things up. When you mix two different liquids together, they have different boiling points and different grey points. What do you call that? Huh? Okay, I remember that. The fractional distillation. Yeah. So I'm a lawyer. But I think I read some of that. So, in separation like that, you've got to be very careful. You've got to be, and that's why many times in the laboratory, they have a particular temperature they keep the place on. Am I right? I think I remember. Yeah. So, they keep the place, they're particular, they have this from here to here. And that same thing goes on also when you do things like blood samples. Am I right? You could be very careful, you know. But though in Nigeria, you could just have malaria and they say it's HIV. No. And then fear will have killed you before death came. Sorry for that. But let's go further. So I'm saying that in doing this separation, you've got to be careful. You get it? If we can be this careful about liquids, mining, then I think we'll be more careful about preaching the Bible. Don't just listen to our context. But the Bible says, to who? That's how some people have become Jews. Exactly. They have become Jews. That's what they are. Why would someone still be talking about temple in 2016? My storehouse. Where is the storehouse? Are you a Jew? They just become Jews. So you got to do strict separation. Hallelujah. And that's what this story is about. You now become skillful. Just like Paul said to Timothy. You become skillful in your insight. Go to Luke's Gospel 24 one more time. Was it this service I told you about fasting? Huh? Remember? Was it second service? First service? Last week? We're fasting 40 days? Did Jesus? Oh yeah. Okay. Let's go 40 days dry fasting. You will die. Didn't you read led by the Spirit? You didn't read that part. Moses. Why would somebody fast 4 days and 4 nights, then the 48th day is now hungry? Keep yourself brain. He shouldn't be hungry. But he became hungry. Moses, 40 days, where was he? He was in the glory of God. That's what he was. He couldn't have been hungry. That's why when he came down, Moses came back. He just became angry. Same thing as I told you about Elijah. Elijah ate the meal of an angel. The angel said, finish it all because the journey is long. So he went on the strength. Why was he able to do it 40 days? Because the food did not digest in 40 days. That's the reason. Hallelujah. You got to give yourself a break. Glory to God. Do I fast? We just completed a fast yesterday. I didn't say you shouldn't fast. But I'm saying you should know how to study what they did. Praise. That's why you find that nobody, after those three personalities, nobody took a 40 days kind of fast like that in the Bible. Paul didn't. After 3 days, he got filled with the Holy Ghost quickly. You know, he just couldn't go further than that. Paul the apostle. I hope you understand what I'm saying. All right, let's go further than that. So you got right divine. Alright, Matthew, so again, I've already passed it. Alright, let's go. Luke 24. And the Bible says, he opened their eyes. Their eyes were open in 27. He opened their eyes. Luke's Gospel 24. Their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. He opened their eyes. What exactly did he do to them? In verse 27, he says, he expounded unto them. Remember that word? To expound unto them is the word diamenio. Dia is across the board. Remember that? Emenio is to interpret. Diamenio. Six times is used oftentimes. Now listen, this is very vital. Is used oftentimes to translate something. Acts 9:36 for translation. Six times is used. Acts 9:36 to translate from one language to another. Then, 1 Corinthians 12:30. Every other time you read it about tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:30 to all interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Except he interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:13, pray that he interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:27, let him interpret. Or, if there be no interpreter, I'll start again. 1 Corinthians 12:30, 1 Corinthians 14:5, 1 Corinthians 14:13, and 1 Corinthians 14:27. So, if diamenio is used for interpreting tongues, that means from the spirit to the understanding. Right? Tongues in the spirit to the understanding. From the spirit to the understanding. So, Jesus begins to interpret what Moses said and what the prophet said from what? From prophecies, types and shadows, symbols into reality. So, that's what he did. Now, notice this. That means just like tongues, when I speak with tongues, the Bible says no man understands, albeit in the spirit I speak mysteries, except as an interpreter. Which means, pay attention, that the words of the prophets and Moses' writings does not contain the interpretation. You will fall into error using those books to interpret themselves. Don't forget again, the things concerning who? Christ. That is, it appears like everything they said was clear, except concerning Christ. Their judgment was very clear, in no language. Their rebuke, their doomsday prophecies were in clear language, but not the words concerning Christ. That was concealed. So, there's no clarity in their words concerning Christ. That's why it is called a mystery. Remember that? It's called a mystery. It's not everything that they said was a mystery. Mm-mm. The things they said concerning who? Christ was in a mystery. So go to 1 Corinthians 12. You learning something? 1 Corinthians 12. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 2, not 12. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mysterion, in a mystery. Even the hidden mystery, the hidden wisdom. Then it says in verse 9, eye has not seen, ear had not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. Romans chapter 1. So, the things, what are the things? The things concerning Christ. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? The things concerning Christ. Romans chapter 1. Let's read this one together. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 to 4. Let's go. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let's go. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God. Now hold it. Separate unto what? Now remove the 1, 2, 3, 4 that is before those verses and let's read it together. Alright? So let's start from separated. Separated unto the, everybody now, everybody. Please, let's go. Separated unto the gospel of God, which had been promised before by his prophets in the, hold on. So what was promised before? By who? Let's see. Three. Let's go. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of a seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So, the gospel is a promise in the prophets. Come on. Are you there? The gospel is what? A promise. Remember what I said? Now, is the gospel a promise today? No. The gospel is a fulfilled promise today. Thank you. So, look at Romans 16. So, how were the promises made? In mystery. Right? The promise was made in what? A mystery. It was concealed. Romans 16. 25. Let's start from 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Romans 16, 25. To know that that's not how you end the service, he now says now. I think that's clear enough, right? Alright? Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, it was a mystery. It was a mystery. So, is the gospel in Genesis? Is the gospel in Exodus? Leviticus? Is everything in Genesis about the gospel? No. Hallelujah. But is the gospel in there?
Yes.
Good. Now, come with me. Go to Matthew 13. Wait for this. Matthew 13. Verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables. And without a parable. Now the word parable is the word parabole in the Greek. P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E. It means analogy. Analogy. Now, don't forget, the prophet spoke in a mystery. Jesus spoke in an analogy. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright. All these things spoke Jesus in the multitude in analogies. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Now, if you lose verse 35, you should not have come, you should have stayed in children's church. Well, you'll learn there too. 35, that it might be what? Which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the world, from the foundation of the world. Notice, he said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things. Now, this is a prophecy concerning Christ. Okay? I will open my mouth parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Did you notice it didn't say, I will reveal? I will utter. So, what's the word kept secret is the word concealed, crypto. K-R-U-P-T-O. K-R-U-P-T-O. It means to conceal in a layer. It's the same way that I mean, you've gotten a gift before. I've seen people wrap gifts before. And then you're so excited. You open the first layer. Then another wrapper. Second layer. A wrapper. And the third layer. A wrapper. The last layer. Then it's a card. So really, that's quite crazy. That's a crypto. That means you have to reopen something. Then open another thing. From the outside, you can guess what it is. But until you open it, you don't know what it is. You get it. So you don't know what it is. So that's a crypto. But then, if you go to where that statement was lifted from, is Psalm 78 and verse 2. It was Asaph. He says, Psalm 78, not Asaph. That was Asaph. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings. That word dark sayings is a Hebrew word, Aichidah. A-I-C-H. I-D-A-H. It means a riddle. I-C-H-I-D-A-H. It's a riddle. Used 10 times. A riddle. Numbers 12:8. A riddle. Numbers 12:8. Now, this prophecy describes who?
Huh? Disguise who? Psalm 78 verse 2. The teaching ministry of Jesus in the four Gospels. Okay? Numbers 12:8. I will speak mouth to mouth, apparently not in dark speeches. God speaking here to Aaron and Miriam. Then Judges, where you find that word used a lot, is Judges 14 by an interesting character. We all know, Samson. Judges 14:12. He put forth a riddle. Judges 14:13. Put forth that riddle. 14:12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Now, a riddle will mean you will have to find out what he's still saying. That's interesting. Jesus' teaching ministry was superior to the prophets. Am I right? Yet his own ministry itself now what? Riddle. That preaching in English? Right. For the benefit of those who are not Nigerians. That itself is a riddle. It's interesting because his own teaching ministry is a riddle. Have you not done riddles before? I'm something. When I run, I'm laughing. When I stop, I'm crying. I say, whatever you like, be. So Jesus is teaching ministry. Oh my God. Jesus is teaching ministry. It's full of riddles. I don't know about you. I don't want that teaching ministry. Thank God I don't have it. He didn't even give that to us. That's why when he rose from the dead, you now open their understanding. Hallelujah. The funny part was, when he explained things, it was not documented. Like parable of the sower. Like Sermon on the Mount. So say, the greatest sermon in the Bible is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. He has been riddled. His teaching ministry was full of what? Riddles. Yet, it was clearer than the prophet. Hallelujah. Following this? So go to Romans 16. You learning something? Romans 16. Now to him that has the power, we were there earlier, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began. Notice he mentioned gospel. So he says the gospel is now a mystery revealed. The word revealed is apokalypsis. Alright? Apokalypsis means to bring to light. Apokalypsis, revelation. It says which was kept secret. Notice the word kept secret. And that's the point. Now, hey, if you're serious about Bible study, listen to this now. Which were kept secret. The word kept secret in the sense he here is from the word sigal. Sigal. You know, we read one in Matthew 13, that's crypto. Crypto is to conceal. Sigal is to be silent. So sigal has to do with words. C-I-G-A-O. To be silent. Every time when the word sigal is used, it's always relative. He does not mean keep quiet forever. For example, when Paul says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent and speak unto God. Sigal. Then he says, let the women be silent. Okay? In verse 30 and 34. No, let the first be silent, sorry, 30. Let the first hold his peace. Then in 34, let the woman be silent. In other words, what he's saying is relative. When he says, kept secret, silent, which had been silent since the foundation of the world. Silent. What was silent? Paul is preaching from the Old Testament books. So what does he mean by silent? They were not silent. The prophets prophesied for about 4,000 years. So, silent where? Silent how? I thought you just told us that they had prophesied the gospel in a mystery. That's the answer. We'll see that in a moment. In a moment. But it was silent. Silent about what? Pay attention now. Notice this. In Matthew 13, rush there quickly. Matthew 13. Put your hands in Romans 16. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, then verse 10. I start from 11. Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Notice the word given. Whosoever hath, it shall be given him. And he shall have more abundance. More abundance. From whom? From him that has not, who has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. What's he talking about? Therefore I speak unto you at them in parables, because they seeing see not. That reason for using riddles is because they cannot see. So, using riddles is actually to get across to them. Yet, it's perplexing. Hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, don't forget the prophecy of Isaiah, and shall not understand. And see, you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand their heart, and should be converted, and will heal them. But blessed are your eyes for the see, and your ears for the hear. For verily, verse 17, I say unto you, verse 17 is very important. He says, for many, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. It's interesting. He's saying the prophets desire to be at your level. All the prophets and all the kings desire to be at your level. So Jesus' teaching ministry was superior to theirs. Yet, hold on 1 minute. Hold on, woman. If Jesus' teaching ministry required much explanation, what do you think we should do with their own? Hallelujah. You get it? We got the deeper explanation, as the case may be. So go back to Romans 16. We said, silent. So what were they silent about? Sigal, silent about the revelation. The revelation was not in their mouth. Seek out. The revelation was not in their mouth. But now verse 16 is made manifest, Phaneru, 49 times. That is the word made visible. Made visible, something that can now be seen. You see it used in 2 Peter 1:19. Through. So what is different in the epistles? I'm asking you now, is it the men or what? What makes the epistles different? Huh? Is it a different message? No. What is it? The revelation, the explanation. So, what makes the epistles different? The men? Nope. The message?
Nope.
The clarity of the message. That's what makes it different. So, we call the Old Testament the Holy Scriptures. We call the epistles the revelation. So what do we call the four Gospels? The riddles. Epistles is a book of analogies. The kingdom is likened unto, hallelujah,
We are not lacking unto anything. We are. Hallelujah. We are now. Praise God. So you have to get that difference.
So the Old Testament, mysteries, the four Gospels, analogies, and the epistles, the Revelation. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Let's quickly view. Oh, we're not done yet. Let's quickly view something. So, we said the first prophet must have been what? Enoch. Then we had Noah. Then we had Abraham. So let's see what's important about those guys. 1 Peter 1. That's why when Abraham would say, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Jews thought about, he was talking about Jews. But he was talking about faith. Remember that? In his faith. That is, by the example of his faith, shall all the nations be blessed. See the journey. In you, and they thought they till they did, they're still thinking they are the ones. Praise God. Some guys say, have you seen Jews? Anywhere they are in the world, they always thrive. They have this and all that. And I keep laughing. Was Lazarus not a Jew? Interestingly, he was the one that got to heaven. The rich Jew went to hell. In the context of what I mean. Amen. Let's go there. Alright. 1 Peter 1. Okay, before we go there. So, Abraham's prophetic ministry can be seen in Isaac, in what he said about Isaac, and what he says about faith. Noah, about the ark. 1 Peter 3:22 says the ark was an antitupos. Remember that? That is a figure likened to something. 1 Peter 3:22, we've been there before, so I just quoted that quickly. 1 Peter 1 now. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. I hope to God, if you were dozing before, now wake up! Get into the belly of the whale now and wake up! You're there. Let's go. 1 Peter 1. Wake up now. God. Of which salvation, listen very well. Why I'm going to re-explain this is because I've explained it 3 times. And I've seen mysterions. That even the prophets will say, this one is too much. Of which salvation, listen very well, though. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently. So, the first thing about the prophets was they were what? Searching. The word inquire and search is the same thing. Diligently. You now added something to that. That's the word exaruano. I'll spell it for you. Exaruano. It means to carefully, cautiously look for something. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 12:17. Exaruano. So, what is it about their prophecy? Their prophecy was searching. Right? Come on. Their prophecy was what? Searching. Verse 11. What was he doing again? Notice the word searching, inquiring comes up again. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ. The word what is who? Searching into who? The manner of time. The Spirit of Christ in them did signify. The word signify means listen to this now. Okay, let's study this together. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. That was signified. It had been declared unto me of you by my brethren. That means someone told me about you. So, she, listen to everyone else, signify means, she told me about you.
How many parties? Huh? Three. Notice that. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:13. No, Colossians 1:18, sorry. Colossians 1:18. I couldn't even read my own writing. Colossians 1:18. Who declared unto us your love in the Spirit? You have learnt of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister. Who declared unto us your love? So, again, let's see. Who declared unto us your love? How many parties? Okay, that's the second one. So, when this is used, okay. 2 Peter 1:14. That's not it. This is crazy. I can't even read what I wrote. Okay, I'll postpone that to next week. But notice something. What we have read so far, I just lost the text. What we have read so far is there will be three parties when the word delo, that's the word signify, is used. One party will tell the other party about someone. Alright? So, if it says, did signify, there'll be three parties. 1 Peter 1. Did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. So, three parties. The Spirit. The prophet. So, who will be the third party? Christ. Huh? Are you following me? Let's start again. The Spirit, the prophet, and then Christ. So, should I go by it again? There'll be three parties. Signify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. So, there'll be three parties. Which will be what? Someone will tell me about another person. Right? So, who, in this case, we're talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Okay, Christ. So, because they were starting who? Who, or what manner of time? So, the Spirit will testify to me of Christ. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Are you following me? Now, what was the result of this? There was a searching. Now, I want to ask a quick question. Can the Spirit of God be searching diligently? Huh? Okay? Put that somewhere in your mind. Can the Spirit of God be the one searching? Just put it somewhere in your mind. So, testify of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, you can't have the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament. But you can have the Spirit testifying of Christ.
So, the Spirit testifying of Christ. I'm here, the prophet, I'm Isaiah, the Spirit testifying to me of Christ. Okay? Beforehand, the Spirit testifying beforehand, beforehand. What's about beforehand? Beforehand means, is the word, let me quickly tell you what that is, the word promatrumai. I'll spell it for you. P-R-O-M-A-R-T-U-R-O-M-A-I. P-R-O-M-A-R-T-U-R-O-M-A-I. Now, separate that. You have pro, then maturo. What's maturo? Huh? To give witness of before it happens. So, to give witness of before it happens. So it testifies, giving witness of before it happens. Giving witness of before it happens. So let's put the elements together. There was a search in their prophecies. And that search meant one will inform you of a third party. It was a search diligently trying to inquire. Sometimes in a search you have questions are asked. Queries are made. Okay? So, before it happens, testifying of Christ, before it happens, how was this done? Pay attention now. Notice there was speaking, but there was no revelation. There was speaking, but there was no revelation. That's why it says it's searching. There was speaking, but there was no revelation. So they had utterance, but not revelation. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Does that make sense to you? They had utterance, but no revelation. It's the same way you speak in tongues. You speak with tongues, and then there's a requirement for revelation of what was said. So they had utterance, but there was no revelation. So what they said, just like tongues, will be what? A mystery until it is explained. Somebody follow what I'm saying? So they had utterance, and in their utterance, they were searching. Now listen to this. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves. So, there was no revelation to them. Are you getting this? Are you following this? Was there utterance? Was there prophecy? Was there prophesying? Was there a search? Was the search fulfilled? Was the search fulfilled then? Because it was not revealed unto them. Was there utterance? Was there revelation? Verse 12, unto whom was it revealed? Huh? Unto whom was it revealed? Unto us. Did they minister the things which are now reported unto you? Please, in Jesus' name, listen to this. Which are now reported unto you. Watch this. By them that have preached what? The gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Do you notice that it seems to imply that in their prophesying was that the Holy Ghost will be sent? It almost, and I guess this week I won't have time for this, but it makes a distinction between the Spirit in 10 and 11 and 12.
Look at it. It makes a distinction between the Spirit in 11 and 12. Because verse 12 talks about revelation. Verse 11 talks about searching and prophesying. Are you following this? They had utterance, but not revelation. Do we have the same spirit with the prophets? Now forget all this, he stays in us, he doesn't say just wait. I'm talking about the same. Do we have the same spirit as the prophets? I'm asking a question. Huh? Do we have the same spirit as Isaiah? Why would you say no? Huh? He said the prophets had utterance, we had revelation, but we also have utterance. Don't we have utterance? We speak forth, we prophesy, we speak in tongues. Do we have the same spirit as a prophet? We'll dwell on that more next week, but I'll give you a hint. Do we have the same spirit? Do we? Because he just said, with the Holy Ghost sent down. Praise God. With the Holy Ghost sent down. He didn't call this the Holy Ghost. He just said the Spirit. And he knew the language he was using. With the Holy Ghost sent down. But let's see something. Go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Do we have the same spirit as the prophets? So they well, the Holy Ghost was on them. The Holy Ghost is now in us. You know, there's some things you will say in baby class. Let's graduate a bit. Hallelujah. Let's leave from one for from two. The Holy Ghost was in them. Did not say, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Yeah? So well, that's not a good explanation. I beg. Let's see. Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 2. A prophecy concerning Christ. Anyway, we said the spirit that walked with them was searching and uttering. But there was no revelation. Right? Right? Thank you. That's brilliant enough. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is about Jesus. Verse 2, Isaiah 11. And the Spirit of the Lord, the word of the Lord there is Jehovah, Yahweh, shall rest on him. Now, he didn't say, people have thought they talk about seven spirits. No. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. He now begins to describe. He says, there's wisdom, there's understanding, there's counsel, there's might, and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom. There says the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of mind, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So put this somewhere because we're coming to explore this. We're coming to explore this. Because we have to. Go to John 16. John 16. So, in the Spirit of the Lord, what do you have? You have counsel. You have wisdom. Alright? Which is clarity, insight. Did they have insight, the prophets?
Did the Spirit of the Lord come on them too?
Yep.
But was it the Spirit of wisdom? Did they have understanding? Did they have knowledge? Come on, talk to me. But they had prophecy. Praise God. Are you following this? Are you following this? So look at this. John 16. Jesus said, verse 12, I have yet many things to know. Is that what he said? I have yet many things to know.
Nope.
To say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. He is come. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. Is that the same as 1 Peter 1:10 and 11? Huh? Come on. This will guide you into all truth. They say, when he is come, well, look at what that means. He'll guide you into all of truth. I would ask a question. Is this a post-resurrection reality? Huh? Was there the Spirit of truth before Jesus rose from the dead? Huh? Come on. Was there the Spirit of truth before Jesus rose from the dead? No. This is a post-resurrection reality. A post-resurrection reality. This is not a fact before Jesus died. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Are you thinking? 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither has it entered into the mind or heart of man, the things which God has what? For them that love. So, this is a prophecy. A prophecy by Isaiah in Isaiah 64, verse 4. I haven't seen, nor hear heard, the things that God has. Now, he is prophesying, his utterance says, I haven't seen, hear hasn't heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all reality. That can't be the same thing. Praise God. This Spirit says, I haven't seen, hear hasn't heard. Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. So, whatever spirit by which Isaiah prophesied that did not have revelation. Come on. Are you following this? Now, look at verse 10. What does verse 10 say? But God had what? Revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Whose Spirit did they prophesy with? It was of God. Are you following this? But was revelation in the Spirit? No. Now, look at verse 10. You've got to really pay attention here. God has revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. Does the Spirit of truth conceal? No. The Spirit of truth reveals. So, follow on. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Go on, read it. For what? By what? Go on. Which is in him? But the Spirit of God. Look at verse 12. Now, everybody let's go. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, again, there's revelation that we might know. Anyone who receives this spirit, what happens to him? He knows. The prophets of the Old Testament, did they know? Is it the same spirit? Don't confuse yourself. Did they know? Is it the same spirit? Huh? I want to get you thinking for 1 week. 1 week. The prophets of the Old Testament, did they know? But did they say? But they didn't know. Do we know? Is it the same spirit? You now keep quiet. Alright, I'll let you think still. That we might know, watch this now. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. For their foolishness unto him. This is Isaiah now. Hallelujah. Are you there? I've told you, when you see Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, it's not every time he's talking about the same thing. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Not today, but let's see something. Watch this. And they're all of God. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is born of the Spirit judges all things. He himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? Was that a question? You know, that was a question. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? That is, who can be, they were prophesying, you know. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who knows what God is thinking? Who can discern God in prophecy? Who can discern God? Who can tell? Who can tell us? Who can? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You see that? We have. So, verse 16 responds to the prophecy. Are you there? It's a response. We have. Who can discern God? How can you by the Spirit say, who can discern God? And then, we answer by the Spirit, say we can. Is it the same? Hallelujah. Or one is the senior of the other one. Praise God. Are you following this? Don't worry, we'll look at their interrogations as we proceed further. Go back to 1 Peter 1. But did you get to think about something now? Were you able to think about something? Huh? Were you able to think about something? 1 Peter 1. No, we said, no, First Peter 1. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just stay there. 1 Corinthians 12 says, we know by the Spirit that has been given to us. Did God give His Spirit to the prophets of the Old Testament? Huh? Right. Did they know? Huh? Did God give His Spirit to us? Do we know? Is it the same Spirit? The Spirit, why? Why is it the same Spirit? Because we don't have two Spirits of God. That's true. She said we don't have two Spirits of God. Do we have two Spirits that can come from God? Huh? We don't have. Are you sure? Are you sure of that? When Jesus came to the world, is the Spirit of God? Is the Spirit of God? But it's a man.
is a man. Okay. Thank you for that. What about angels? Did the Spirit come from God? The Spirit of angels came from God. I'm just asking a question. I'm also searching diligently. Just calm down, alright? So, you know, we know. Praise God. They didn't know. Praise God. Jesus describes what was given to us as the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Good. So, he says that we may know. So, there's an interrogation. That interrogation says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? He says, we have the mind of Christ. So we know. So, utterance was possible in the Old Testament, right? But it was no revelation, right? So what is superior, revelation or utterance? Revelation. Okay. Now watch this. Did you notice that all utterances must be judged? All utterances must be judged. So we judge the utterances. For example, Hebrews 1:1. They spoke in, watch this, God was 100 times in diverse manners, we constructed that verse, spoke in time past to our prophets by the prophets. To our father, sorry, by the prophet. And we said it means partial revelation. So whatever ability they spoke with, spoke partially. Partial revelation. Partial truth. Hebrews 1:1. Let's look at an example of someone, a name John. John the Baptist. Start a bit about John. John the Baptist was an example. But I'll leave John this week. I have somebody else to go after. I'll leave John. I've had enough of John for now. But I'm coming back to John next week. There's someone else I want us to go after. His name is the, why I'm going after him is because he's probably one of the smallest ones. So we'll rise to the biggest ones. Isaiah and Cole. But let's look at Jonah. Jonah. You know Jonah? Jonah. We want to judge Jonah. Right? So we're going to judge all of them. I hope those who got up and left were not gleaming because they're scared. Who have the audacity to question the prophet? Elijah. He's happy that we're clarifying issues for him. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai. Saying, some of you can go and study what Amittai means. You won't be an intelligent Christian if you do that. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Sometimes I wish, why do you have to tell them? Come on, react, man. You have to tell them the wickedness come up before you. That they're sin. You know, if you read it, you'll say, we need a prophet that can cry against the people. What is going on in Lagos? Some guys are just a joke. Anyway, look at this. The word cry, alright, amen, right, against. What exactly were they to cry? Recall what we read last week. What did Isaiah say the report was? He said, who has believed our, a man, our report, Isaiah 53. Can you remember that? You know, we studied that. That is the report of the prophet was who? He has, surely he bore our infirmities. So, if, and you said report means that they sent you on an errand. So, what should the prophet go to say? Christ Jesus. Alright? Is that clear? So, we don't want to judge, we want to mark Jonah's script. We will be weighing all those books. 20% pass rate. That's why Elijah has no book. He was not even allowed to sit for the entrance exam. 10%? Obu will score 5%. Just watch. 5% will delete many things. This is not relevant. This is relevant. Hallelujah. So why is the Bible that big? So that you can study. No key point. You want to collect handouts. You have to study. Look at this. So what did Jonah do? He said, go and cry against it. He got into the belly of the whale. And look at what he said. From the belly of the whale. I cried right in the midst. So you can see. I cried by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. It was alive. And it was mentioned in Sheol. Cried I, and he heard my voice. This was obviously. You know, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Matthew's Gospel 12:40. For 3 days, so shall the Son of Man. Right? So, this was the spirit of prophecy. Alright? So shall the Son of Man. So, he's searching. Searching for who? Christ. So, imagine Jonah is going to Nineveh with the mindset of maybe dealing with their souls. But Jonah himself is crying for salvation. Teacher, don't teach me nonsense. Is he any different from people he's going to? No! That's what I said. He bought our. Just hold on, we're not there. Just relax. You don't want to mark his script. We'll take it one by one. So he's going. And then he cries. Jonah. For you've cast me into the... Then he begins to talk and talk and talk. And it's Jonah. 2. Look at verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Can we read verse 9 together? I will sacrifice to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vow. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the Lord speak unto the fishes, vomiting him out of dry land. So, Jonah needed what? Huh? What was he crying about? What was he thanking them for? And he's the messenger. So, is he any different from the people he's going to? I'm asking you now. Is he any different?
No.
So, go back. Oh. Go back. The word to cry against it, the one word earlier, is actually an Hebrew word, kwara. It means to preach. Kwara means to preach. To call. 734 times. To preach. To make a call. The word against King James, which will give them 6 slashes, is the word R-A-L 5,778 times is used in the Hebrew language. It means over or account of. That is, because of their sins, go and preach to them. Not to be against. Preach on the account of their sins. What was he supposed to say? We just read. Salvation is of the Lord. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? He was supposed to go there and preach Jesus. Jonah. Close. Just wait. Let's see what he did. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's not salvation. So, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast. And put on sackcloth, and the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from the stone, and he laid his robe upon, and covered
with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Which of them did Jonah do?
I'm asking now.
And he caused it to be proclaimed and published to all the people of the great king and his nobles, saying, let every man not be heard, nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed, nor drink water. And let man and beast see what Noah cost.
And there was his name again, Jonah.
And cried mightily unto God, yeah, let them tell everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell him? God will turn and repent and turn away from his first anger, and we shall perish not. And God saw their walks, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil, and he said, this is Jonah. That he will do unto them, he did not.
How can an omniscient person be changing his mind?
God, what you did. Somebody who is omniscient, who knows everything. He knows you are forming.
So, take that out of your mind. That's how to study. Now watch. Look at chapter 4 verse 1. But it what? Displeased Jonah.
And he was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was thus it my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, before I knew that thou art a gracious.
Hallelujah. Can you see he's searching?
That a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, repent thee of the evil. Therefore, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, take. For it's better for me to die than to live.
The Lord then said, why are you angry? Why are you angry? Many of them are just angry men. Why are you angry?
So Jonah went to the city and sat on the east of the side of the city. And then made him a booth. And sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He was waiting.
The Lord God prepared a guard and made it come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the guard. And God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, smote the guard that was with it. Came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. And he fainted, and he wished himself to die. And then he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the guard? He said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. He said, thou hast had pity on the God.
Hallelujah.
For the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grieve, grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night, should not I spare anything? That great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. That was what he was sent to say.
Hallelujah.
So he was talking in anger.
Praise the Lord.
Are you there?
So we can take the gospel. Can you imagine how many verses and how many gospel is there?
So much stories. And the gospel is concealed in there.
Praise the Lord.
So you can see that many of them said many things they were not told to say. Why? Because they are human beings.
Praise the Lord.
That's why Jesus will tell his disciples, don't follow Elijah in that. Don't follow Elisha in that. Know you not the spirit that you are of? You can't follow Moses in that.
Praise the Lord.
Because we are in the new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we take their books one by one and we mark them.
What can we give Jonah?
Huh?
If you give him two, when we get to some of your favorite people, you give them zero.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Is that clear to you?
Is it clear to you?
He said, I knew you were gracious. So you knew that. Why were you not saying something else to them?
He knew God would not destroy people. Yet he went there to tell them, 40 days you'll be gone. But you knew.
I score him one.
Have had a great time.
Stand to your feet, give God praise. Thank you. That's his name.